Rachel, we'll say good morning. Let's begin. A lot to do today. I did not realize time. Okay, our learning this morning is dedicated by Dr. Chaim and Jackie Nachman in commemoration of Jackie's mother's yahrzeit, Nishdrezel Nechama Bas Chaim Yidel. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, her neshama will have an aliyah and the family in Nechama. Thank you very much, Chaim. Also, our shiurim this month are dedicated by Sammy and Malka Esterson in memory of their parents, Yitzchok Leib ben Aaron HaKohen and Hinda Bas Henech Ephraim. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, the Shamas will have an aliyah and the family a nechama. So let's begin. A lot to do today and not a lot of time. Okay, so today's daf is Yud Zayin 17. We are picking up from the two dots. Tes Zayin Amud Beis 16b. 16b. So remember again, Achal Tevel Maaser Rishon. So remember again, we're going through the list of various things which carry with them a prohibition, or I should say a penalty of Malkus. So one of the things that was mentioned in the Mishnah was a person eats Tevel, which means untithed produce, and Maaser Rishon Shelo Nitla Trumasol. And Maaser Rishon, ultimately again, Maaser Rishon, remember again, is the portion of the Levi, which you did not separate out Truma Gidola from it. Amarav. Achol tevel shel ma'aser ani lokem. Rav Seva will say the following case. What happens if somebody eats tevel, but the reason why it's tevel is because you didn't separate out ma'aser ani. They will say, remember again, if you look at Rashi just a moment, tevel shel ma'aser ani, shur for shel kol ma'aserosof, we're talking about grain over here, where all the other trumas and ma'aseros were separated out. Chutz mizeh, with the exception of ma'aser ani, what's going to be the halacha loke? The difference over here is I separate out everything else from my grain except Maaser Ani, which is the tithe to the poor. The tithe to the poor, I will say, it could be eaten by anyone, right? Technically speaking, if you make all of your property hefker, you're also an ani, right? And even if a non-ani eats it, there's no chiyev miso or karis or anything. It doesn't have to be eaten in a state of kedusha. So what happens if I didn't go ahead and separate this out? Does this still make the grain tevel? So Rav says, yes. Loke, you get malchus, if you didn't separate out maaser ani, you get malchus eating tevel. Come on. Ki aitano, disanyo am Rav Yossi, yachol lo yechayiv ela ala tevel shal hurim menu kol ikar. So I would have thought that lemaisa again, I'm only chayiv for tevel if nothing was separated from it. However, here hurim mimeno kol ikar hurim mimeno truma gidola. But let's say I separated out truma gidola v'lo hurim mimeno ma'aser rishon, and I didn't separate out ma'aser rishon, or ma'aser rishon v'lo ma'aser sheni, or I separated out ma'aser rishon but not ma'aser sheni. Afilu ma'aser ani minayin. I'll say, how do I know that even if I separated out everything but ma'aser ani, that it's still called tevel, and if I eat it, I'm going to get malchus? Tamu lomar. Lo sucha le'echol le'echol b'sharecha. The pasuk says, "You shall not eat it within your gates." U'lahalanu omer va'achlu b'sharecha v'saveu. And the next pasuk says, "You shall eat it in your gates, and you shall be satiated." Ma lahalan ma'aser ani. Just like later on, the pasuk is talking about ma'aser ani. Afkan ma'aser ani. So too of yourself ma'aser ani as well. Va'amrachmana lo sucha. And the pasuk says, "You may not eat it." So I'll say, from here you see that halacha la'maisa, even if you separated out all of the other tithes, and the only thing you didn't separate out is ma'aser ani, that is still called tevel, and therefore if you eat it, you will still get malchus. Rabbi Lazar Omer, in tzarech likros as Hashem al ma'aser ani shel demai. I will say, the Gemara here comes into a very interesting discussion about demai. Take a look at Rashi for just a moment. It's the first of the widest lines in Rashi. In tzarech likros as demai. We have a good background to this discussion. The Aminon, the Yochanan Kohen Gadol, shalach b'chol gvul Yisrael, v'ra es amei ha'aretz chashudin ala ma'aseros, chutz mitshuma gidola. So we'll say Yochanan Kohen Gadol did a survey throughout the Eretz Yisrael, and he saw that amei ha'aretz, ignorant people, were generally suspect and were not separating out their tithes, with the exception of Truma Gidola. And we'll say the reason for Truma Gidola is the portion of the Kohen. If a non-Kohen eats it, there's a Chiyav Misa. There's a death penalty. So therefore, again, the Amei Ha'aretz were not careful to separate out any of the Trumas Maestros except for Truma Gidola. Amar ben Yisrael, Bonai, Keshem Shat Truma B'Misa, Kacha Tevel B'Misa. So Yochanan Kohen Gadol said, my children, the same way that you can't eat Truma Gidola if you eat untithed produce, there's also a Chiyav Misa. Amad V'Tikein. Yochanan Kohen Gadol stands up and makes a takana. What's the takana? Halokeach me'ama aretz yafrish kala maisros If one purchases produce from an Am Haaretz, you have to assume that it has not been tithed. You have to re-tithe the produce. But here's something interesting about say, because this tithing is being done out of doubt, therefore again the Yisrael is permitted to consume some of the tithes. So Maaser Rishon, he could eat, because Maaser Rishon technically is consumable even by non-Kohanim. The Maaser Sheni has to eat in Yerushalayim. V'im Shnas Maaser Anihi, what happens if it's a year in the agricultural cycle where you normally separate out Maaser Ani? Nechalku Rabbi Eliezer Chacham. The Kamar Rabbi Eliezer, Delo mi boy afu shemi safek. Delo tzarech ela afilu likros alav es Hashem. V'lomar Maaser Ani shal kri zeh yeh b'tzfona o b'drama nami osra. So here's the interesting question. So when it comes to Demai, we assume Truma was taken. But with all the other tithes, you have to separate it out. The question is, you have to separate out Maaser Ani as well. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Lazar Omer, Inzarach Likros as Hashem al Maaser Ani Shal Demai. So Rabbi Lazar says, you do not even have to designate it. You don't even have to call it out, but you don't have to designate Maaser Ani from Demai. V'chom d'chom say, Bosai Tap of Yud Zayin, Kori as Hashem v'no tzarach l'hafish. The Chachamim say, you have to designate it, but you don't have to what? You don't have to separate it. Look at Rashi. Tap Rashi Yud Zayin Amud Aleph. Techeivan shekar alav as Hashem yatzak krimi toras tevel. Ushara maizro sark lahafrish al karchach lefisha tark lahafrish mi maizr vishon chumas. Maizr vishon chumas. Supposed to listen to this. The Chachamim say, so Rabbi Lazar says, you don't even have to designate it. The Chachamim say, you have to designate it, but you don't have to separate it. So the Gemara says, my lav b'hakim iflegi. What are they arguing about? So the Mar Savra Vaday Tovlo, Umar Savra Vaday Eino Tovlo. But it seems what they're arguing about is, does the non-separation of Maaser Ani make produce into Tevel or not? But let's say under general circumstances, think about Demai, regular grain, which everyone agrees has not been tithed. Does the non-separation of Maaser Ani make the produce into Demai or not? Rabbi Lazar would seem to say no, and therefore again, what? And therefore, make it into Tevel. Does the non-separation of Maaser Ani, in general grain, make the grain Tevel or not? Rabbi Lazar says no, and therefore again, in the case of Demai, Rabbi Lazar will not obligate you to even designate Maaser Ani verbally. The Chachamim say yes, and therefore in the case of Demai, you have to at least designate it verbally, even if you don't have to separate it physically. If that's the case, says the Gemara, Amar Abaye, Amar Abaye, Ihochi, Mifligi Besveko, Liflagu Bavandai. Abaye says, if that's the case, then why frame the Machlokis, Rabbi Lazar and the Chachamim, regarding Demai? Why not go ahead and frame the Machlokis regarding what? Actual produce. In other words, we'll say, if they're really arguing about whether or not non-separation of Maaser Ani makes produce into Tevel, then Lamaisa, again, why do you have to argue in a case of Demai? Argue in a regular case, in a real case of Tevel, to which the Gemara says, Ela Ducholi Alma Vaday Tovlo. Rather, I will say, everybody will agree that in a stam case, right, I have grain, and I did not separate out Maaser Ani. Until I separate out the Maaser Ani, that grain is considered to be Demai. V'hocha b'hocha miflegi. So we'll say, Tevel, I'm sorry, thank you. What are they arguing about? Ela b'hocha b'hocha miflegi. Mar savar lo nechshadu ame aretz al Maaser Ani shel Demai. So one opinion says that we assume that even ame haaretz separate out Maaser Ani. Why, Rabbi Osai? Dechevan demamonohu afrushe mafrish. So Rabbi Osai, here's the chap with Aniyim. Right, here's the chap with Aniyim. So here's the chap with Maaser Ani. Even if I have to separate out Maaser Ani, I will say, once I separate out Maaser Ani from my produce, do I have the obligation to seek out an Ani to give him the Maaser Ani? Interestingly enough, the answer to that is no. Which means I have an obligation to separate it, but if an Ani never shows up at my doorstep, then what? Then I can eat it myself, which essentially means that there's absolutely no downside to separating out Maaser Ani. Therefore, the first opinion holds, that Lamaisa, even Ame Ha'aretz separate out Maaser Ani. Why, Rabbi Osai? Because it doesn't really cost them anything. Therefore, again, they'll separate it out, and they'll just leave it, and they'll eat it before it goes bad. For Rabbanan Savri, Arkevan Detricha L'milsa L'mafesh, Rabbanan say no, that the reason why Ame Ha'aretz often don't separate out Maaser Ani, Rabbi Osai, is not because of a stinginess. It's not because of an unwillingness to go ahead and separate out Maaser Ani, but it's why. So Rabbi Osai, people are good. the issue that when we don't do certain things, it's not because we don't care, it's not because we don't want to, but usually it's because of what? Laziness. So therefore, again, the idea is, no, the Amir Arad do not separate Amayser Ani. Do you know why? Because it's an extra step, and they're going to be unwilling to expend the additional effort. So we'll say, bottom line, halacha maisa, how do we paskin? So number one, if you don't separate out maisa ani from your produce, the produce is tevel. That's the one how we paskin. Number two, we assume that ame haaretz do not separate out maisa ani. Therefore, if you purchase produce from an ame haaretz, that produce is demai. And in addition to separating out all the other trumas and all the other maestros, you also have to separate out maestro ani. Why do we assume ultimately again that an ama aretz does not separate out maestro ani? Why Rabbo say? Ultimately again, laziness. Good. Gemara goes weiter. Kam yochal min atevel. So Rabbo, remember again, how much do you have to? Mishnah had a discussion of how much tevel do you have to eat, or how much of tevel do you have to eat in order to be chayiv. Amra Bibi Amra B'Shem Ben Lakish Machlokes Bechita. So you both say, if you remember again, the way the Mishnah read is there was a Machlokes. The Machlokes ultimately was how much tevel do you have to eat in Bichayiv? Rabbi Shimon said any amount, and the Chachamim said a Kizayis. Rabbi Shimon said any amount. Why? Because he said, for example, if you eat an ant, are you not chayiv? Right, an ant is obviously a very small entity, and the Chachamim said that's different because the ant is a burial. So says the Gemara, Amar Abibi, Amar Rav Shimon, Amar Rav Shimon Lakish, Machlokis Bechita. The Machlokis between Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim was only in the case of a wheat kernel. So Rabbi said, because Rabbi Shimon will say that a wheat kernel is significant, Chachamim will say not. Aval bekemach tivriyah kol kizayis. But we'll say if you're eating flour, right? If you're eating flour of tevel, everyone will agree that you're only chayiv if you eat a kizayis. Rabbi Yirmiyah, Amar Rav Shimon Ben Lakish says the following. Say first wide line, Yizayin Amadaf. No, the same way there's a machlokis about a grain of wheat, or a wheat kernel, there's also a machlokis about flour. Tnan, Armelo Rabbi Shimon, Iyatem Odin Li Ba'ochen Nemala Kol Shu Chayiv. Armelo Be'bnei Shekbiyasa. But one second, we learned in the Mishnah that Rabbi Shimon says to Chachamim, do you not agree with me that if you eat an ant, which is a small amount, you will be chayiv? And the Chachamim respond, that's different because an ant, as we learned yesterday, is a beria. That is an entity, a complete entity unto itself. Amar lahen, afchita achas kibriyasa. So what does Rabbi Shimon say? Rabbi Shimon says, well, even a wheat kernel is an entity unto itself. So what do you see from Rabbi Osei? Der machlokas is only by a wheat kernel. Chita in kemachlo. It's only by a wheat kernel, but by flour, everyone will agree that what? That in order to be chayiv eating tevel, how much do you have to eat? A kizayis. So to which the Gemara says, lo, ledivrehem, I'm sorry, chita in kemachlo. To which the Gemara says, no, ledivrehem kamar lehu. Rabbi Shimon is saying this in accordance with the position of the Chachamim. Rabbi Shimon will say, lididi afilo kemach nami. Rabbi Shimon will say, I hold that even if you eat a small amount of flour, you will be chayiv. Why? Because we'll say, what Rabbi Shimon is saying is, once we have a concept that you are chayiv for eating an ant, which is a very small amount, that teaches us that in other cases of ma'achalos asuros, of prohibited food items, even small amounts will be asur. Elo ledidochu, so according to me, even a small amount of flour will be chayiv. But ledidochu, according to you rabbis, oduli mihas dechita achas kibriyasa, ultimately, again, at least agree to me that you should be chayiv for eating one wheat kernel, because one wheat kernel is a beria, is a complete entity. For Rabbanon, the Rabbanon will say, berias neshama chashuva, chita lo chashuva. The Rabbana will say, no. The concept of a beria, Bosa, is only by what? Only by living things. The concept that a complete entity, even if it's tiny, will be a complete chashuv unit is only by living things, like an ant. But by inanimate objects, like a wheat kernel, a small amount like a wheat kernel will not be chashuv. Lo chashuva. Tanya kavase de Rabbi Yirmiyah. Bosa, we have a brayse that supports Rabbi Yirmiyah. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Kol Shehu Lamakas, Lomar Kizayis El Lakarban. So we'll say the Brice over here indicates that according to Rabbi Shimon, Halacha Lamaisa again, Halacha Lamaisa, you'll be Chayiv Malkus for any amount. Your own Chayiv Kizayis is only necessary to make someone Chayiv a Karban. We'll say, how do we paskin? So you already know that we paskin like the Rabbanon in this situation, which is that Halacha, as well, let's take a step back. We paskin like the concept of Beria, which means that if a person consumes an ant, You know, we saw this in yesterday's Gemara. Even though what? It is obviously less than a kizayis, one will be chayif for violating multiple prohibitions, up to seven prohibitions for the consumption of an ant. It's less than a kizayis, that's different. When it comes to living entities, we accept this concept of a beria. Beria, I will say, means that at the end of the day, it's a living thing. Because it's living, it's chashiv, and as long as it is its own intact unit, you will be chayif. But that concept of beria only applies to living things. Anything else, Rabbi said, that is a food item, the sheer fechiv will always be what? Will always be a kizayis. Good. Says the Mishnah. Ha'ochel bikurim ad shelo karlem. So we'll say if a person goes ahead and eats bikurim before the recitation was made. Remember again, so halacha l'maisa, you bring first fruits to the Beis HaMikdash. When you're from the Shevas, when you bring the first fruits, there is a kriya. There is a recitation that is made. We actually say this, we know this kriya, because we say it every year in the Haggadah, right? Most of Magid, or a good part of Magid, is the kriya, is the recitation that you would make when you bring bikurim. So let's say you eat the bikurim before the kriya. So, or kachek kadashim chus lekelayim, or we'll say you eat kachek kadashim. So kachek kadashim, ultimately again, are the highest sanctity karbanos, and you eat them outside of the walls of the Beis HaMikdash, or kachim kalim or maaser sheni chutz lachoma, or eat kachim kalim, which are both lower sanctity karbanos, or maaser sheni, remember again, which is a tithe that can be eaten by the owner, but has to be eaten in Yerushalayim, chutz lachoma, either outside of the walls of Yerushalayim, or hashover es ha'etzim bepesach hatar, or you break a bone in a carbon pesach that is tar. So also remember again, the Torah is about carbon pesach, ve'etzem lo sishberu bo. You're not allowed to break a bone in the carbon pesach itself. If we have time, we'll discuss why that is. I will say, so, but this only applies to Karban Pesach, that's tar. In all of these cases, Hareza Loka Abon. I will say, in all of these cases, you get Malkus. And if you violated any of these prohibitions, or you did any of these actions, you get Malkus. Aval, Hamos Shibitar. But I will say, if you leave over Karban Pesach, right, the Torah in a Karban Pesach, that's tar, or Hashover Betame, or you break a bone in a Karban Pesach that unfortunately is ritually impure, you do not get Malkus. And I will say, we'll see the reason for that. The most here, the leaving over, we discussed already, I will say, is why? Is ultimately a yam, because that is a lav hanitak la'asei, right? That, or I should say, it's a lav she'in b'maisa. It's passive. It's passive. Well, we'll see why that is. And in Itame, we'll say that's based on a drush that we'll see in the Gemara. Hanotel imal abanim. We'll say we referenced this Gemara yesterday. The halacha is that if you go to a bird's nest and you want to take the eggs, what do you have to do? You have to send away the mother. Let's say you took the eggs first. Let's say you took the eggs first. So what do you do? Hanotel imal abanim. Rabbi Yehuda omer lo ke'aveinu mishalech. We'll say Rabbi Yehuda says, sorry, you get Malkus, and there's no longer an obligation to send away the mother bird. So, mostly, remember again, we learned this before, because Rabbi Yehuda's understanding is, Shaleach Tishalach Hezaim is a mitzvah on the front end. If you did not send away the mother and you took away the bird, then what? Then what? You're done. You are mevatel the asay, and there is no way to remedy that. Chacham say no. Mishaleach ve'in aloke. It was said the Chachamim say that this is still a lav hanitak la'asay. That's what? Even if you go ahead and you took the eggs first, you could remedy that which you have done wrong through, by what? By sending away the mother bird. Zeh HaKlal, said this is the general principle. Kol mitzvos lo sase sheish bakum maseh in chayav v'nalav. Any prohibition that has an associated positive commandment, the performance of the positive commandment could potentially remedy the prohibition, therefore you will not get malchus for that infraction. Amar Rabba Abraham Amar Rabbi Yochanan. So we're focusing on the first part of the Mishnah. First part of the Mishnah said that if you eat the bikurim before the recitation has been made, you get malchus. Says Rabbi Abachana, these are the words of Rabbi Akiva. Avach chachamim, or the chachamim say, bikurim hanocha ma'akeves bohen, kriya ein ma'akeves bohen. Both said the chachamim say that when it comes ultimately to bikurim, the most important thing is what? Placing them before the mizbeach. Once you place them before the Mizbeach, mission accomplished. And if you subsequently eat it, you're good. When we say you, we're talking about like the Kohen, right? But ultimately, again, the Kriya, the recitation, is not Ma'akev, does not really play a dominant role in the Bikurim process. So the Marsha Velemas would have Rabbi Shimon's Timsoi. So why don't you say the Mishnah reflects the view of Rabbi Shimon? In other words, if Rabbi Akiva is echoing Rabbi Shimon's position, why not say the Mishnah reflects the view of Rabbi Shimon? It was the original opinion. Why do you say Rabbi Akiva? Hakamash Land, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Shimon's view. Oh, Einachinami. But the Mishnah is also teaching me that Rabbi Akiva echoes the sentiment of Rabbi Shimon. My Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Osai, what is the position of Rabbi Shimon? Listen to this. This is actually a very dramatic Gemara. This drasha is going to take us really onto Amud Beis. This Sanya. Because we have the following halacha. Nebosei, so just so you understand, the Gemara now is quoting a pasuk from Devarim Perek Yud Beis, pasuk Yud Zayin. The way the pasuk reads, I'm going to read you the pasuk in order, because as we're going to see, Rabbi Shimon darshens the pasuk backwards, in reverse order. The pasuk says, Lo suchal lecho b'sha'arecha, you may not eat within your gates, Meiser digoncha v'siroshcha v'yitzarecha, u'bechoros bekarcha v'tzonecha, v'chol midarecha asher tidar, v'nidvosecha tshumas yadecha. The Torah also discusses the obligation to go ahead and eat all of these, I should say, the prohibition that you are not permitted to eat any of these sacred items b'sha'arecha, within your gates. Rather, where must they be eaten? They must all be consumed. We'll call it in Yerushalayim. But in Yerushalayim, again, different things have to be eaten in different places. Some things could just be eaten within the walls of Yerushalayim. Some things could just be eaten on the Harabayis. Other things must be consumed in the actual precincts of the Beis HaMikdash. So this is the drasha. The sanya. U'trumas yadecha. The pasuk says, you can't eat trumas yadecha b'sha'arecha in your gates. What does that refer to? Elu bikurim. Both say this refers to bikurim. First fruits. Amar Rav Shimon, ma bazel lelamdenu. What is that coming to teach us? If he's coming to teach me that I can't eat bikurim outside of the walls of Yerushalayim, I don't need a drasha for that. Why? Kavachomer mi meiser hakal. I can make a kavachomer from meiser sheni. But what's the kavachomer? Uma meiser hakal. Meiser sheni is called meiser hakal. Why is it called meiser hakal? Why? Because I, the owner, get to eat it. Right? The way meiser sheni works is I have to separate out the tithe, but I don't have to give it away. It's mine. Just the caveat is I have to eat in Yerushalayim. So when it comes to meiser hakal, that's how they call it. Linyan meiser. Meiser sheni, ochlan. If one eats it outside of the walls of Yerushalayim, one gets malchus. Bikurim l'kol shekein. So Rabbi says, obviously, again, if I eat bikurim, which Rabbi says is more chamer than ma'aser sheni. Why is bikurim more chamer than ma'aser sheni? Why? 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 Because ultimately, again, I give it to the kohen. It's not mine. It's not mine. So if I get malchus for eating ma'aser sheni, which is mine outside of the walls of Yerushalayim, then what? Bikurim l'kol shekein. Then all the more so, ultimately, again, I will get malchus for eating bikurim outside of Yerushalayim as well. So what does the pasuk come to teach me? Halabo akasav el ochlan bikurim ad shelo kara alehen shehu loke. Or Rabbi says, what does the pasuk come to teach me? The pasuk comes to teach me that I will get malchus if what? If I go ahead and I eat bikurim before making the recitation, before reading the associated psukim, if I go ahead and I eat bikurim, I will get malchus. We'll say that's drasha number one. Now again, we'll say if you have like the Oz Vahadur Gemaras, the newer Gemaras that have the psukim on the side, you could follow along with this drasha. So Trumas Yadecha is the last part of the drasha. Now Rabbi Shimon is working his way back. Watch this. This is actually quite riveting. V'nidvosecha. So the Torah says, you can't eat your nidavos in your gates. What does that refer to? Zu todo shlamim. I will say this refers to todo and shlamim. You can't eat a carbon todo, you can't eat a carbon shlamim b'sha'arecha. I'm Rabbi Shimon. Ma bazel elamdenu. What is this coming to teach us? Im la'ochlan chutz l'choma. So I'll say, if it's telling me that I can't eat a todo and a shlamim outside of the walls of Yerushalayim, I don't need a pasuk to teach me that. Why? Kavachomer mi meiser. Because I could once again make a kavachomer from what? From meiser sheni. Halaba kasav el la'och. So I'll say, because again, same idea. If I can't eat meiser sheni outside of the walls, then what? I certainly can't eat a todo and shlamim outside of the walls. So what is the pasuk coming to teach me? Halaba kasav el la'ocha betodo shlamim lefnei zri. It's coming to teach me that if I eat a carbon todo or a carbon shlam before what? Before the blood is sprinkled, that I will get malchus. I will say next, again, we're just working our way backwards up the pasuk. U'bechoros, you can't eat your bechoros. Abisharecha in your gates. Zabach, I will say, what does this refer to? This refers to the bechor animal. Remember again, what do I do? What do I, the Yisrael, do with my bechor animal? I give it to the Kohen. I give it to the Kohen. So I say, what is the pasuk coming to teach me? So, Bechor Zeh Bechor, I'm Rabbi Shimon, Ma Ba Zeh Lelamdenu. What is this coming to teach us? Im La'ochlan Chutz L'choma. If it's coming to teach me that I can't eat it outside of the walls of Yerushalayim, Kal V'chomer Mi Meister. Again, once again, I can make a Kal V'chomer Meister Sheni. So, Im Lefnei Zrika, you're supposed to watch this. This is great. So, if it's coming to teach you that I can't eat it outside of the walls, I don't need a pasuk. I can make kav chomer from Meiser Sheni. Im lefnei zrika, if he's coming to teach me that what? That I can't eat the bechar karban before the blood is sprinkled, kav chomer mi todu shlamim. I can learn that from a kav chomer of todu shlamim, which you just learned before. So what is the pasuk coming to teach me? Halo ba kasav ela la ochal min habechar vafilu la'achar zrika shuloke. Rather, I'll say, what is that coming to teach me? It's coming to teach me that lemaisa, again, if I go ahead and eat from the bechar, even after the blood is sprinkled, I get malchus. We'll say, who's this referring to? Take a look at Rashi, third to last line in Rashi. Afi la'achar zvika shuloke imzarhu. I will say, if I'm a non-Kohen, and I partake of the Bechar Karban, even after the sprinkling of the blood, I get Malchus. Why? She'en HaBechar Ne'echal Ela L'Kohanim. V'zoi Asarasu Makom Acher Aseu Subosai. So therefore, according to Rabbi Shimon, the Pasuk is coming to teach me that if I, as Yisrael, take part in the consumption of the Bechar Karban, even after the sprinkling of the blood, I get Malchus. Good. Next. So the Pasuk says again, you can't eat your bakar and your tzon, sonacha. You can't eat your cattle and your sheep in your gates. What does that refer to? Zuchatas va'asham. Both of this refers to sin offerings. Chatas and asham. I'm Rabbi Shimon. Ma bazel lam denu. So Rabbi Shimon says, what is coming to teach us? Get ready for this. We'll say, it's like chagaji a little bit. Im la'ochon chutz l'choma. So he's coming to teach you that I can't eat a chatas and asham outside of the walls of Yerushalayim. I don't need a pasuk for that. Why? Kavachomri meiser. Because also remember again, once they've established that Meiser Sheni cannot be eaten outside of the walls of Yerushalayim, and I will say Meiser Sheni is the most kal of any sacred item, then by definition that tells you that all sacred items can't be eaten outside of the walls of Yerushalayim. So good. So I don't need a pasuk for that. That's a kal v'chomer Meiser. If you want to tell me that I can't eat a chatas and a asham, im lifnei zrika, kal v'chomer told the shom. Also remember again, chatas and asham are kachay kadoshim. Todan shlamim are kachim kalim. If I can't eat kachim kalim before zrika, then what? I certainly can't eat kachim kalim before zrika. Im la'achar zrika. And if you want to tell me that I can't eat it, that a non-coin can't eat it, even after zrika, even after taking the blood, kavachomer mi toda. I already know that from toda. Ha la ba'akasav ela, la'ocha mechatas va'asham afilu la'achar zrika, chutz likelayim shuhu loke. Oh. What is the Pasuk coming to teach me? The Pasuk is coming to teach me that I may not partake of a chatas and asham even after zrika, even after the sprinkling of the blood, outside of the precincts of the Beis HaMikdash. In other words, chatas and asham must be consumed in the Beis HaMikdash itself. It is not enough to consume it within the walls of Yerushalayim. It must be consumed within the Beis HaMikdash. Good, weiter. Nidarecha. We'll say the Pasuk says Nidarecha. You can't eat your Nidarem Bisharecha in your gates. Zu Ola. We will say this refers to an Ola. Amar B'Shem Mazeh Balam Denu. What is this coming to teach us? Im la'ochlan chutz l'chom, so he says same chagadi over here. Im la'ochlan chutz l'choma, if you tell me that I can't eat the ola outside of the walls of Yerushalayim, kal v'chomer mi meiser. I know that from Meiser Sheni. Im lefnei zrika, if you tell me that it can't eat it before sprinkling of the blood, kal v'chomer mi todu shlamim. I know that from todu shlamim. Im la'achar zrika, if you tell me that a non-kohen can't eat it even after the sprinkling, kal v'chomer mi bechar. I know that from bechar. Im chutz l'kelayim, if you want to tell me that lemaisa again, I have to eat in the Beis HaMikdash, kal v'chomer mechatas asham. Ha lo ba'aka. So we'll say, what does the pasuk come to teach me? Amud Beis. Ela lo ocha min ha'ola la'achar zvika afilu bifnim shehu loke. Oh, and we'll say, what does it come to teach me? Essentially, you can't eat the ola at all. Ola is not consumed by people. Ola is totally consumed in the Mizbeach. Therefore, you're supposed to say, even inside the precincts of the Beis HaMikdash, you can't eat those. We'll say, this is the magnificent drasha of Rabbi Shimon. Amar Rava, we'll say, is actually a very, very, very dramatic statement. The Yalda Ime Kereb Shimon, Teilid. So Rava says, if you're going to give birth like to a child like Rabbi Shimon, then it's worth it to give birth. V'ilo, but if you're not going to birth a child like Rabbi Shimon, lo seilit. Better not to give birth. And I want to say, so first of all, what does this mean? So I just want to point out to you that if you have, again, in the newer Gemaras, this is not like a commercial, I just want to be clear. I said like newer Gemaras five times. So I just want to point out, if you have an hagos v'tziyunim on the side, I think the truth is most Gemaras have the hagos v'tziyunim, the little aleph there in the hagos v'tziyunim, if you look, he quotes, Ayin ritva, dilo garsinan tevos, vi'ilo lo seilit. So we'll say, ultimately, again, in the girsa of the Ritva, The Ritva only has the first part of the statement, not the second part of the statement. So according to the Ritva, the way the Gemara reads is, Amar Rava, Diyalit Ime Kereb Shimon Teilit. Essentially, Halavai, everybody should give birth to a child like Reb Shimon. But the Ritva omits the second part of that statement, which is, and if you're not going to have a kid like Reb Shimon, better not to have a kid. So first of all, the Ritva itself erases it. Rabosai, the interesting part is, however, many other Girsos ultimately have this. There's a lot to say on this. Thinking about maybe talking this out during the Siyum, which is next Mir Tzashem, whenever we have that. So we'll say, what I'll just tell you the following is, I'll just whet your appetite for this. Who is the Reb Shimon that's mentioned over here? So we'll say, according to most opinions, this is Reb Shimon Bar Yochai. This is Rashbi. This is Rashbi. And I will say again, ultimately again, what is, okay, I'll tell you, fine, just smart. So what does it mean that if you have a child, when Rava says, if you have a child like Reb Shimon, then ultimately again, then fine, but if not, that's what I think the pshat is like this. Remember again, Reb Shimon Bar Yochai was great on many different levels. Torah Sanigla, Torah Sanistra, Reb Shimon Bar Yochai is one who authored the Zohar. So we'll see, if you remember again, one of the greatest events of Reb Shimon Bar Yochai's life is that when he was sequestered in a cave for a number of years. And they remember again, the first time he comes out with his son, Rabbi Elazar, what happens? Everywhere they looked, they destroyed. Why? Because they saw people who were working the field. They saw people ultimately, again, who were doing all these different kinds of things. And they could not accept the fact that people would be doing something other than learning Torah. Chazal Baruch Hu orders them back into the cave. What happens? A little while later, right? A year later, they're able to come out. Rabbi Elazar is young, still very idealistic. Everywhere he looks, he destroys. Rabbi Shimon goes ahead and is able to see the beauty in the people who serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a variety of different ways. That he saw that even the farmer, who was not spending his entire day learning, was special, was beautiful, was heilig in his own way. His Avodas Hashem was different. Not everybody's Avodas Hashem has to look the same. Not everybody's way of connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to look the same. People find their Kiddusha in a variety of different ways. Obviously, all within the framework of Yiddishkeit. I'll say, so perhaps that's the pshat. Rav is saying, it's not just the din of being a great Talmud Chacham. Rav says, the yol de'imi kereb shimon teilid. If you're going to birth and raise a child who knows how to see the beauty and the holiness in every Jew, that's a child worth birthing. But if you're going to go ahead and raise a child who is only going to be able to see things in a myopic, singular direction, only in one way, there's only one right way, there's only one mahalich, there's only one way, my way, that's it. Then you know what? The world doesn't exactly need a child like that. The world has enough myopic, intolerant people. What the world ultimately needs are more Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai's. More people who are able to see the holiness in every Jew. More people who are able to see the beauty in every Jew. Even if that Jew is not exactly living or doing the way Rabbi Shimon himself would conduct himself, but he's able to see their beauty, he's able to see their holiness, he's able to see their goodness, tailored. That's a child one should have. Okay. Va'afal gav, v'isle pircha. Now, interestingly enough, so Rava goes in and says, oh, look at Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Look at Rashbi. Look at Rashbi. Right? So Rashbi makes this beautiful drasha. Rava says, oh, if you could have a kid like Rashbi, it's worth having kids. If not, don't have kids. So what does that mean? So the Gemara says, you know, this is a great drasha. There's only one problem. Va'afal gav, v'isle pircha. We'll say, what's the problem? It's wrong, right? And I was going to say, what does that mean? That this is a beautiful drasha, but at the end of the day, there's a pircha. In other words, one could refute every stage of this argument. How? So we'll say, let's go through this. My chumra de bikurim in meiser. So we'll say, what's the chumra that bikurim has over meiser sheni? Shekein yisurim lazarim. You assume that the reason Bikurim has a chumrah over Meiser Sheni is because ultimately, again, it is Aser Tanan Kohanim. Adraba, Meiser Chumr. I could say that Meiser Sheni is more chumrah ultimately, again, than Bikurim. Why? Shekin Aser La'onim. Because I will say, ultimately, again, Meiser Sheni is Aser. Remember, again, Rabbi Shimon's entire premise was based on a Kal V'chomer from Meiser Sheni. He was assuming that Bikurim was more chumer than Meiser Sheni. And therefore, again, if ultimately, again, Meiser Sheni has to be eaten within the walls, certainly what? certainly Bikurim has to be eaten within the walls. Which again, says, by the way, not necessarily. There is a chumrah that Meiser Sheni has over Bikurim. What's the chumer that Maaser Sheni has over Bikurim Bosai? Maaser Sheni cannot be consumed by an onin. Who is an onin? A mourner, an avel, right? But again, Bikurim can be consumed even by an onin. So my chumer the Tov Doshlam. So Bosai, what's the chumer that? So all the Gemara is just pointing out is we could refute his kavah chumer by refuting his hierarchy of stringencies. My chumer the Tov Doshlam in Maaser. Now Bosai, what's the chumer that Tov Doshlam have over Maaser Sheni? She came to unin matan damin ve'imor on the gad mizmeach. Now Bosai, obviously, Tov Doshlam are karbanos, therefore they require blood applications on the mizbeach. Adarabah, I could still say that Maaser Sheni is more chamer. Adarabah, Maaser Sheni chamer shekein tu'unin kesef tzura. The Rebbe says, in order to redeem the sanctity of Maaser Sheni, you could only transfer Maaser Sheni's sanctity onto what? Onto minted coinage. Minted coinage. However, again, the sanctity of a tov den shlam and a bosei could be transferred onto anything. Umay chumra de bechor mi tov den shlamim. So we'll say at the end of the day, what's the chumra that bechor has over tov den shlamim? So the Gemara says, shekein kiddushaso mi rechem. Because we'll say a bechor animal is sanctified already from the womb. Adraba, tov den shlamim chamorim. I could say that a tov den shlamim more chumra. Why? Shekein tuunin smicha. So ultimately, again, because it ultimately requires smicha. Unisachim and wine libations. So we'll say smicha means when you lean on the animal. Nisachim are wine libations. Utenufas chazei v'shok and a raising or a waving, I should say, of the chest and the thigh. Umaychurma de chatas v'ashami bechor. And what's the chumra that chatas and asham have over bechor? Shekin kadshei kadoshim because they are kadshei kadoshim. Adiraba bechor chamer. I can say that bechor is more chamer. Why? Shekin kiddushasam meirechem because ultimately again bechor abosai is kiddushasam meirechem. Ultimately again. The Kiddusha is in utero. Umay churma de olam echatas va'asham. And what's the chumra that Ola has over chatas and asham? Shekein kalil. The Rebbe says ultimately again, an Ola is totally burnt on the Mizbeach. Other Rabbi can say just the opposite. Chatas va'ashim chamiri. Chatas and asham can be more chumra. Why? Shekein mechapri. Because ultimately again, they are totally mechaper. And chatas and asham have the ability to atone, which Ola does not. V'kulu chamiri me'ola. And Rebbe says all of these are more chumra than Ola. Why? The ispahush de achilos. Because it will say in every other carbon they have two achilos. Two achilos means what? One to the Kohen and one to the Mizbeach. Some, by the way, some even have three, right? Where ultimately is one to the owner. But ultimately, again, Ola has none of them. So essentially what we've just shown is what? Rishon Bar Yochai spends all of this time, and the truth is, it was an incredibly enjoyable experience, an exceptionally enjoyable experience, to go through that Kav HaChomer and to see the complexity of the drasha. But the Gemara essentially says, it's wrong, meaning it's all based, essentially everything is based, this entire reverse drasha is based on a hierarchy of chumras. All the Gemara is just pointing out is, the hierarchy is somewhat flawed. I shouldn't say somewhat flawed. One could poke holes in the hierarchy of Rashi Rosh Hashanah Yochai. So say if we could poke holes in the Kav HaChomer, Elamai Diyol Di'imei K'Rabbi Shimon. So we'll say ultimately, again, so if that's the case, that the Kav HaChomer essentially is wrong, why does Rava have such praise and such accolade for Rashbi? Well, I was about to say, after the drasha, which I was about to say is exceptionally impressive. Rava says this dramatic statement. If you're going to have a kid like Rashbi, then you should have a kid. If not, better not to give birth. But I don't understand. If the argument is flawed, then the mice again, why such praise? Well, say, listen to this. So why would we say ultimately again that only someone who could birth a kid like Rabbi Shimon should have a kid like Rabbi Shimon should give birth? Listen to this. Dilamai disirale lidide mesares elikra vidarishlu. We'll say, what does this mean? Take a look at Rashi. Dilamai disirale mesares elikra vidarishlu v'fi daito shachumrim shuhu motze ba'osa shumotze chamurim mira lo chomer sares es hamikra lidarsho behefich. Velimtso isurim shemata shemdarsho kidsidro lohaya lochalumot. They will say, because since in Rabbi Shimon's model, the system, the hierarchy of chumras that he creates, ultimately allows him to darshan the pasuk in a reverse order, in a way that you could not have darshaned in the forward order. Again, Rashi goes on. Essentially, we'll say, what does the Gemara answer? The Gemara says, because there is such incredible effort, and there is such incredible ingenuity, and there is such incredible thought, and there is such incredible passion that is brought to this, that even though what? Even though we don't accept it, halacha l'maisa, what incredible passion, commitment and ingenuity. And when someone goes ahead and exhibits these traits, even if the particular drasha is disputed, even if the particular drasha ultimately, again, is not accepted, lemaisa against such an individual goes ahead and deserves much praise. Shabbosai, what comes out from this gemara is something very... So again, we'll stop over here for today. We're going to pick up at Meretz Hashem with the rest of this, still more with the rest of this drasha tomorrow. But understand, Shabbosai, what the gemara highlights is, number one, the idea, first of all, to emulate the personality of Rashbi. And now we have two levels of emulation. Number one, that Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai was a man of incredible vision. First of all, the ability of Rabbosai to see this reverse drasha is quite amazing. A man of incredible commitment, that once he had the ideology to build this argument around the ideology, Rabbosai, as we're going to see later on, by the way, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai also yields. He also admits that his drasha is flawed, which Rabbosai in and of itself is an incredible midah. But more importantly, perhaps, he could suggest that according to Rava, Rava's ultimately lauding, he is ultimately praising the Rashbi personality. The ability of a person who is able to see the Kiddush in every Jew, wherever they are, and in everything they're doing, even if that Jew is not living the way I want to live my life, even if that Jew is not committing to a particular approach as the way I see it to be correct, but the ability to see the holiness in every individual, the ability to see the beauty in every individual, we'll say, that's how we have to raise our children. That's how we have to build our mishpachos. And Rava says, if that's the ideology we instill in our children, then Baruch Hashem, we had mishpachos. If that's not the ideology, if unfortunately, again, we were myopic or we preached that intolerance, ultimately, again, Rava says perhaps better not to establish a family at all. Right, so we'll stop over here. Just a reminder, tomorrow is a Sunday schedule. So first minion, 7:15. Dr. Yomi will follow Meretz Hashem, the first minion, and then the second minion, 9 o'clock. Shabbat shalom.